hands. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we've come to give thanks today. We're so grateful, Lord. Lord, our mind cannot contain, Lord. We can't express our appreciation for what you've done for us, Lord. We don't have the words, Lord. Lord, may you pour out your spirit among us. Give us another language that we can worship you the way we should worship you, Lord. That we can express, Lord, all that you've done for us, Lord. Help us, O God. Lord, I ask you to bless the service today, Lord. Lord, we come to you in needy people, Father. Lord, I know that we're not a large number of people, Lord, but here we come because we love you. We appreciate what you've done for us. We recognize you did something in this age, Lord. We're witnesses, Father. And Lord, we come with many requests, Lord. And I know myself and all the people here, there's many prayer requests, O God. And we lay them down at the foot of the cross. And we say thank you, Lord, for hearing our needs, Lord. Thank you for meeting our needs. Thank you, Lord, for keeping your promises to us. Lord, we appreciate your word, O God. We appreciate the sacrifice that you made. Lord, we ask that you lift us up into heavenly places today. May we get caught up into your word. You are the word. In the beginning, Lord, you are the word, O God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Help us, Lord, today. Bless us, Lord, today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're standing, can we turn to Genesis chapter 25? Genesis 25. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start with verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, for with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Wherefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You may be seated. May the Lord bless this reading from his word. Praise the Lord. Very familiar story to us today. And we've heard it many times. You know, we've talked about Jacob and Esau a lot. But there's some powerful truths in this story that I think are worth looking at again. And, you know, we think about the twins. There's always twins, you know, in the Bible. There's Jacob and Esau. There was Cain and Abel. There's always two. You know, there's one group and another group, but in the same family. You know, in the last days, the Christ and the Antichrist will be so close that it would deceive the very elected if possible. So we know it's always that way. There was, when Jesus appeared, Judas was there. You know, there's Isaac and Ishmael, two. They weren't twins, but they were the two different groups. And Jacob and Esau is just a very plain example of that. So I wanted to read something Brother Branham said. If you have that first quote about the twins, Sean. He says, now, it's promised that in these days, Brother Branham's talking about the last days, God will pour out his spirit. It's promised by Daniel that the people, in the days when the stone hits the image of the foot. How many knows that scripture? See, when the stone hits the image of the foot, the people that know their God shall do exploits. Now, Brother Branham is not wrong to think of that as his day, because he was in that day. But we have more of a right to think of that as our day than he did, because we're in the last days. We are closer to that time when the kingdom of God will bring down the kingdoms of this world. It's good to be on the side of Jesus. Okay. All right. So I love that scripture. When you read that back in the Old Testament, it's a wonderful thing. So Brother Ram says, prophecy after prophecy, in all the seminaries, the world can't take it out. God's going to do it anyhow, and people's going to follow it, see? The carnal and the natural church and the supernatural church. You see, the word makes the difference. That's what Jacob thought. Now notice, I want you to pay attention today, Jacob's desire and Esau's desire. See, there's a big difference here, even though they were brothers, the same parents. And that's what Jacob thought. And no matter what, I know I can never be blessed unless I get a hold of that birthright. That birthright is what I'm going to have to get a hold of. But Esau hated it. And his children does the same thing yet to this day. They hate it. It's always been. Whenever there is a revival, it always produces twins. See, that's a rude remark, but it's true. When there was a birth out from Isaac and Rebecca, it produced twins. When the world was created, it produced twins, two trees. And when Cain and Abel was born, it produced two. When Ishmael and Isaac was born, it produced two. And when Jacob and Esau was born, it produced two. One of them natural, one of them of the earth, the other one supernatural. And one looked at the natural, intellectual. Notice, one looked at the natural, intellectual, and the other one walked by the Spirit. Amen. It's always been that way. When the Lutheran Church came forth, let's take Pentecost first. Look at the Pentecostal birth. It brought forth a great, powerful revival that swept the known world, Pentecost. It wasn't long after Pentecost till even Paul said that there would be men rise among them with perverse things and would turn the people away from God. And that's just exactly what it done. It produces two. When the Lutheran Church was born, Martin Luther brought forth a spiritual revival. It wasn't very long till here come Esau, right behind him, and organized it down. And it produced two. Then after that come the Methodist, John Wesley, a spiritual revival. After that come the organization and organized it down. It produced two. And after that come Pentecost, a revival, and now they've organized it, and now they settle down to organization, and it produces two. See, it's always been. There's always been these twins. And Brother Branham's ministry, all through his ministry, talked about every revival produces twins. Now, he wasn't excluding his own revival that he was in, Brother Branham said it always happens. Every time God will choose an individual, he'll choose a man, he'll inspire him, and he'll bring forth a fiery message. And he said every time after that message comes, people come behind it and they pervert it. It always produces two. So there's a group holding to what it was really intended, and then there's a perversion of it, which is inspired by the devil. Out of every revival, do you realize that? It's always that way. It always has to be that way. So we see that even in the end time message that I hold so dear. I believe many here hold a very dear. Amen. That God sent a prophet to this generation. Hallelujah. And a revival swept the world. Well, what's come after that has been twins. There's been an intellectual side, and then there's the side that holds to the Spirit of God and the correct idea of it. Help us, Lord, today.
Amen.
Jacob and Esau. So we see that's true, and think about Jacob and Esau being twins. Esau's first, the older, and then Jacob comes, the younger. Same father, same mother, but very different. Even the Lord said, two nations. I'm just going to look at verse 23 again. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Here she's, you know, can you imagine? She's barren, okay? And then she's saying, I want to have a baby. And she's, please help. And she goes to the Lord, and then she conceives and she gets pregnant. Now she didn't ask for twins, probably not. Who would ask for twins, right? Some people might want twins, but you get one to sleep and then the other one wakes up, right? So we never had twins, but I imagine it's not easy. So here she's wanting a baby, and then she feels all this rumbling going on inside, and she's saying, Lord, you know, I thought this was a good thing, and what's happening? She didn't realize something bigger was going on. Many times we don't realize something bigger's happening. Okay, the struggle has a reason for it. So she's struggling inside, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowel. And the one people shall be stronger than the other. See, I would think that means in the natural that Esau was probably stronger than Jacob. Jacob was, Brother Bram called him a mama's boy, you know, dwelling in tents, plain, where Esau was a man's man, right? He was a hunter, cunning hunter. His dad favored him, right? So one was stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, this is the Lord talking. Now, God, as we know, is eternal. And he sees different than we see. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the end of all things from the beginning. He knows the end of every person that ever lived from the beginning. But who here has that? Who here can stand up and say, well, Brother John, I know the end of everything from the beginning. We do not. We do not. So we can acknowledge that God knows, but we do not. And there's the difference right there. See, God saw that the elder would serve the younger. God loved Jacob, and he hated Esau before they were born. Now that stumbles people. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. I want to talk about that for a minute because this seems to come up with a lot of people. We just want to talk about it. Romans 9, verse 8 to 16. Romans 9, verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. See, we're the children of promise. We don't look at the natural. We look at the promise of God.
Amen.
When the spies went in the promised land, you see two groups again. One looking at the natural. One looking at their own abilities. The other one looking at the promise and saying, God can do anything.
Amen.
Two different groups. But the children of promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Now look at verse 11. For the children being not yet born, this is Jacob and Esau, neither having done any good or evil yet, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? You have to be careful the way you think. I know when people come to me all the time, that's not fair. I say to them, I don't want fair.
Amen.
You don't want fair.
Yes, sir.
You want the grace of God.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Well, how do I get the grace of God? Humble yourselves.
Amen.
He gives grace to the humble. Right? What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So it is not of him that willeth or he him that runneth, but it is God that showeth mercy. Now, see here, from my view, we're dealing with two things here. One, we're dealing with what God knows, being an eternal being, and then we deal with what we know on a daily basis. And some people get stuck thinking about that God knows everything because they can't understand it. They can't understand how God can know. We cannot understand God. There's no way that you and I can ever understand an eternal being that knows the end from the beginning. And my caution is this, don't get caught up in that. Some people actually get stuck thinking too much about those things, and then they become, as the saying goes, so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You ever hear that? So heavenly minded, in other words, they're so thinking in the clouds that in the day-to-day, they fail to make the right decisions that they could make. What you and I need to focus on is today. Don't focus on yesterday and don't focus on tomorrow. What decisions can I make today? What right decisions can I make today? Is the grace of God involved? Yes. If you can see what's right and wrong, that's the grace of God. But don't get caught up in thinking so much about that it hinders you today. You understand what I'm saying? I met a lot of people say, well, that doesn't sound fair. Predestination, foreknowledge of God. Listen, for me, don't get caught up in it. It's not edifying to think too much about it. For a Christian, it should be comforting.
Amen.
Because he touched me.
Amen.
He saved me.
Amen.
And when I look at from the eternal eyesight, he didn't save me to lose me.
Amen.
Yes, I'm on the mountain and then I'm in the valley and I'm on the mountain and the valley. And that's my view of daily life. But I take comfort in looking at God's view. He didn't save me to lose me.
Amen.
He didn't reveal such wonderful things to me to cast me away. I don't believe that. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, many times the people that take exception and they say time out here are people that haven't experienced the grace of God.
Amen.
And they're looking to find fault with the gospel. That's what I found. Many on the intellectual side, they choke on this idea that God knows everything and that God can say, the elder shall serve the younger. I love this one and hate this one before they were ever born. See, to me, you got to be careful of that. I think we need reverence for God.
Amen.
You know, and my Bible says plainly, but without faith it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
Without faith it is impossible to please God. Now,
Amen.
Knows him. For he that cometh to God, and we're coming to God today.
Amen.
He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Right? Hebrews 11:6. So never forget that. And faith is, it's not the things you see. See, it's the things you believe that you can't see. Hey, the substance. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, so the reason I mention that, you needed to trust God, is you have to always remember, since we do not know the end of everyone, it is completely wrong for us to attempt to say, this one's the bride and this one's not. Excuse me, God will pick his own bride.
Amen.
And many people are going to be in the bride that we would not have thought would be there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm so glad of that. See, God chooses his own bride. And it's wrong for mortal beings to look at the present conditions and say, this one's in, this one's out. People come into your life and they may have the appearance of being evil and never have a chance with God. But you know what? While there's breath in them, God has a chance to change them, right? Amen. God can change anybody in a moment.
Amen.
I don't care if somebody's lived their whole life evil. God can transform anybody.
Amen.
That story of Stephen Marin, that it was so blessed me, how that... Of course, we would never have invited that man into our home. We would have never had to sit down and have a cup of coffee with that guy. He was a murderer, rapist, and hated women. And see, but one day, Jesus came, and the grace of God came to him. And in a moment, that man was transformed. Because the evil spirit was cast out, and the Holy Spirit came in, and he was a different person. So I want you and I to be the kind of people that every person we meet, no matter what condition they're in, they have a chance with God to be transformed.
Amen.
Because we should say, he changed me.
Exactly.
I remember what I was.
Amen.
Don't be the kind of religious people say, well, he changed me because I deserve it, but not you.
Amen.
No, he can change anybody.
Amen.
I want to believe everybody can be saved.
Amen.
Say, Brother John, we know everybody's not saved. I know, but I don't know who is and who isn't, so I'm going after everybody.
Amen.
There you go.
Amen.
That's where I want our mind to be. We don't know.
Amen.
And it's wrong for us to think we got it figured out.
Amen.
You know, God chooses the unlovable.
Amen.
He chooses the one you would think not.
Amen.
I told Maureen, I'm still thinking about those women, Brother Abraham brought out to us in Matthew 1,
Amen.
Right? The ill-famed women.
Amen.
The ill-famed women were highlighted.
Amen.
Not the good women. Why did God do that? I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I can't get that out of my mind.
Amen.
I knew that was there. I saw it before, but he brought that out in such a way where I think that was very edifying. And he came to the conclusion, you know, it's about the grace of God. It's not about what we do.
Amen.
And, you know, he didn't highlight one more woman there that was highlighted.
Amen.
Mary.
Yes.
Now, from God's view, Mary didn't do anything wrong. Right?
Amen.
But from man's view, she was a shame.
Amen.
She got pregnant before she got married. Right?
Amen.
So I'm thinking about these women and thinking what they really had in common was shame and disgrace from mankind, but not from God.
Amen.
And I think God was highlighting, it doesn't matter what man thinks. So many people that are shame and disgrace to man, God's going to just like elevate them a little bit. Woo! How about Rahab, a prostitute?
Amen,
anyway, I'm sorry. That's a... There's a lot more to that than what he brought out. He just highlighted it and moved on. But that was a very, very interesting subject. Why would God highlight those women? You know, our God, he loves to hide himself. And what I've noticed, he likes to hide himself behind something that looks a little wrong. He does. So we have to be careful in the natural view that we don't judge something that God's hiding behind. We can find fault in the natural, and maybe that's true. Hey, Rahab was a harlot. You could interview 100 men that knew. But somehow, the grace came to her.
Amen.
Grace came to her house. Praise God. I love that.
Amen.
God will choose his own bride. So what can we do on a more, let's say, human level every day? What can we do today with the story of Jacob and Esau? Not that we can figure out who in life is Jacob and who is Esau. But what we can do is look at the story and look at the differences and what is it that we think God liked and what is it that God disliked.
Amen.
See, we can look at that in the natural. And I believe it's very plain in the story as we bring it out and we realize one key point was their attitude towards the birthright was very different, wasn't it? That's the glaring, that's the bright red light shining. Their attitude towards the birthright was a big difference, and I think it was a difference for God. Now, again, you can get caught up there and say, well, God gave him this desire and that desire. I'm not going to get caught up in that. I'm going to look at what they did, and then I'm going to look at what we do.
Amen.
What is our attitude towards the birthright today? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jacob obviously wanted the birthright no matter what, while Esau cared not about the birthright.
Amen.
Didn't care about it. He actually, the Bible says he hated it. Let's go to that second quote. Don't normally have so many quotes, but today it just seemed to happen that way. You got that one, Sean? Thank you. Jacob and Esau. When Jacob and Esau was born, they were both born of a holy father and holy mother, but they were twins, one a carnal man, religious, went to church, was a very good man, very good. Jacob was a little shyster. How many knows what a shyster is? You know, if you're around a shyster, you'd be careful what kind of deal you make with them, right? Right? And that's why, you know, kind of, and I don't feel like this, but a lot of people throw that on the Jewish people. Be careful when you deal with a Jewish person. You ever hear that? Because they're good financially. And maybe they are because of Jacob. I don't know. All right. Praise the Lord. Take people as individuals. You don't take them as a group, right?
Amen.
We know that. Whether it comes to race or creed or whatever. People are judged by individual, not by their skin color, not by their parents, not by anything else, right?
Amen.
So we never classify anybody as a group like that.
Amen.
The world does, but Christians don't.
Amen.
All right? So he was a little shyster, but he had his mind on one thing, that birthright. That birthright meant everything to him, no matter how he had to get it, because the Bible said that he was elected before the foundation of the world to look to that. See, now really, okay, where we are, if you have that desire and you got to have that birthright no matter what, you could say, well, that come because I was elected before the foundation of the world. See, I believe that. All right, and today there's people, I don't care how much popularity they have to use, I think he means how much they have to lose or what they have to do makes no difference to them if they're called old-fashioned, no matter what they are. They got their eyes on Christ because they were elected to eternal life. And they plant right there on that. If it takes everything, if it takes everything they got, they plant there. Woo! That should be us, right?
Amen.
The other one is a nominal man. He goes to church and he feels. There's something to this. He feels just as good as the rest of them. He goes home. See? That's the Esau-like. See? The other one is a Jacob-like. Now, there you are, both sides. So we see the same thing today. You see two groups today around Christianity. Some people are perfectly content to be a little religious. I grew up in a Catholic church. People don't think about God at all during their daily life. And then they go to church once a week. Very holy. Very religious. Got the garments. We got the incense. We got the statues. We got the ceremony. Very happy to be religious. And the people there, it's a deception, isn't it?
Amen.
See, the devil, back in the beginning, if we look how the devil came, he tried to kill it off. And by trying to kill the Christians physically, what happened is it only made the real Christians stronger.
Amen.
Persecution makes the church stronger.
Amen.
So the devil, being clever and deceptive, and he says, all right, this really isn't working. So what he did is he made his own perversion religion. He made a kind of religiousness where people could be just a little religious and feel good about it and satisfy that real ache in somebody's soul that wants to get right with God and just get a little religious. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Just to be a little religious, you know. So and just to give them enough, they say, I got religion too.
Amen.
I got religion too. And many times, and here's the thing, that Esau group can make their religious look better than the real thing.
Amen. That's true.
You know, I remember we got real excited. We were going down south with Brother Brian, and we stopped in near Stonewall Jackson. There was a little museum, and we're going through the museum. We begged the lady to let us in, and we're looking around the walls just at closing time, and we stumbled across this one plaque. You know, it's usually just one little thing that just jumps out at you. And in there was a Confederate, money, which obviously doesn't work today. But there it was on the wall, and they had a plaque with a counterfeit Confederate bill and then the real Confederate bill. Well, which one do you think looked better? The counterfeit was perfect. The edges were perfect. It looked better, but the real thing was a little ragged. The real thing had some little rough edges around it. I tell you what, I almost started dancing there in the little museum. See, Esau looks better than Jacob. If you had to pick a church member, you're going to pick Esau 10 out of 10 times over Jacob.
Amen.
You wouldn't pick Jacob, but God did.
Amen.
Which one of us would have picked Saul to be the 12th to replace Judas? No, we would have picked Matthias too. See, because it's the natural versus the spiritual. Many times that spiritual just doesn't look right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's why we can't trust our view.
Amen.
What does the Bible say? The carnal mind is enmity against God. Amen. It's the enemy of God. We've got to get to the place where we don't trust our carnal mind. We don't trust the flesh man, but it's the spiritual revelation from God.
Amen.
Remember Cain and Abel, the twins there offering sacrifice? Cain's sacrifice was much more beautiful than Abel's.
Amen.
Picture it now. You go back there, you see Abel's got the revelation that it was blood, right? And so Abel gets a rock and a spotless lamb, and he maybe hacks at the neck, or I don't know what he did, but there was blood everywhere.
Amen.
There was blood all over Abel, right? It was messy looking, right? And then over not too far away, we see Cain, the proper man, the dignified one, the one who had slaved in the fields, and he made beautiful flowers. And when he decked out that altar, I think every one of us would have given him a gold star. It's when you walked up to Cain's altar, it would be just like when you walk into some of these beautiful cathedrals today. Oh, wow. See, the devil's a master at that. Wow. Surely God must be in this place. You ever walk into a cathedral?
Yes.
Different than walking in here. You know, that place used to be a bar, you know. And it wasn't a nice bar. But God can transform. God can take something that's nothing and make something out of it. But people walk into a cathedral and they say, how could you say this is wrong? See the devil? And there's Cain after he had it just right and he's puffing up them flowers and he's got it all just beautiful there and his sacrifice to the Lord. Do you think he was proud of his sacrifice? And he's looking over at Abel going, look at that. How stupid can you be? You think God wants that bloody mess? That's Cain.
Amen.
That's the seed of Cain. Take the blood off it. No blood. You know, Brother Bam looked at those sacrifices and he said, the problem with Cain's sacrifice, see, there's flowers and stuff alive, but there's no feeling in the sacrifice. Botany life. No feeling in it. He said, where the lamb, there was a life in that lamb. And the life went out of the lamb. See, the lamb was a substitute sacrifice. Something had to die with life and feeling in it. That was pointing to Calvary. Aren't you glad he died for us? our sacrifice today is not that pretty thing, but it's that bloody thing.
Amen.
On the cross.
Amen.
At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. See, we got to wrap our arms around that cross and just never let go. Just get the death grip on. You got your arms around the cross and nobody's going to get you away from the cross.
Amen.
Because the big lie of the devil is trying to get people away from that bloody sacrifice. Always has been, always will be. We got that strain even around the message. And I can't believe I sit there and listen to people preaching about how, Aaron didn't need blood when he was around Moses the prophet, and here we are in this day and we got our prophet and we don't... I'm sitting there thinking, I need blood, brother.
Hey.
Wash me in the blood.
Hey.
Where are you going? What spirit's got a hold of you to take you away from the blood?
Amen.
That's Esau. That's Cain. I don't want nothing to do with that.
Amen.
Give me the simple gospel.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I love that. Think about that.
Amen.
So, one is religious and just happy to be a little religious. No interest in the birthright. The other one, they just can't be content without the birthright. Nothing will satisfy them except that.
Amen.
They don't care what other people think. The only thing they care about is, I must have the birthright.
Amen.
That's Jacob. See, that's the seed. And what is the birthright today? It's a new birth.
Amen.
It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's that token, the seal of God on your soul. Without that, you're just not happy.
Hallelujah.
Back there, and when they were coming out of Egypt, they were coming out of that promised land, they had a sacrifice. But see, the right seed says, we can't be happy until the blood is on display.
Amen.
In other words, it wouldn't have worked, even though there was a sacrifice and there was blood, and they were all, circumcised? They were all that right seed.
Amen.
But God's instructions was the token. When I see the blood,
amen,
I'll pass over you. So they had to take hyssop, and hyssop's a type of common faith, right? Not extreme faith or rare faith. The common weed, just grab the hyssop and dip it into the blood.
Amen.
And then put the blood on the door.
Amen.
Right? Now today, what's the token? The token is not a literal blood. It's not, we don't take a physical weed and dip it in literal blood and put it on our forehead. No. Today, the token is the life that was in the blood. The life that was in Jesus Christ. So when he died on Calvary, when we believe it right, he comes back into the believer. That's the Holy Ghost. By the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he comes back into us in the part of the new birth. And that life that was in Christ is on display.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Branham said, always judge your life by the fruit you're presently bearing.
Amen.
See, don't look back and say, well, hey, 15, 20 years ago, I had one time, I manifested, I was nice to somebody. What's the fruit that we're presently bearing?
Amen.
That shows what spirit's in us. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
See, it's not for you to judge other people in here. It's not for me to judge you. It's my job to preach the gospel. See? And it's your job to deal with what the word says.
Amen.
But I think we should make our calling and election sure.
Amen.
We shouldn't leave any doubt to it. And Jacob's seed will not be happy until they see the token on display.
Amen.
And if they see something else on display, they run back to the promise. They run back to the cross and say, Lord, I've repented. I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. You promised me the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You promised me that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So one is just content without the birthright, and the other one just has to have it. See, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not an intellectual thing. And that's the danger around modern Christianity today. Is I've read the Bible, I've read the Gospels, I've been to church, I'm a good person. All right, well, that qualifies for Esau, right? I understand intellectually the Gospel, and I believe Jesus died on that cross. The devil believes and trembles. Esau. The difference is, that's one natural. The supernatural has a supernatural experience with the supernatural God.
Amen.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a literal experience with God.
Amen.
Where the Spirit of the living God comes into us and transforms us and changes us. And we have different motives, different objectives, different eyesight, different ambitions. Everything is different.
Amen.
But you can come to church and say, yeah, I agree. It's like someone says to you, well, here's the Bible. I agree that's a Bible. Yes, that's the Bible. That's the Word of God. Until you take it and receive it, it's not yours. Right? We must receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, we could talk about it all you want. You have to experience it. That's the bottom line. And anybody that's experienced the Holy Ghost, they know that you're talking about what you're talking about.
Amen.
Let's go to that third quote, Sean.
Hallelujah.
And this one's from the Ephesian Church Ages, which that's the first church.
Amen.
You know, the first and the last. There's something about the first and the last, right?
Amen.
The last and the first. I like the Ephesian Church Age. Now, it says here, did you notice that every revival, now minister brethren, you check this, every revival produces twins. Now he says Jacob, just as Jacob and Rebecca produced twins, Isaac and Rebecca produced twins. The father was holy, the mother was holy, they had two boys born, Esau and Jacob, both of them was religious. Both Jacob and Esau were religious. Being religious is not enough.
Amen.
Amen. That's a revelation. The world is filled with religious people. You know, good people. I know a lot of good people. Following Christianity, going to church. But I'm not judging. But it could be that they haven't received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Why do we say that? Because of what's coming out, what's being produced. You see? The contentment with the world. The contentment. See, you know, I thank God for the message of the hour.
Amen.
He shook us to the core. He stripped us down. You cannot embrace the world and embrace the message.
Amen.
You can't do it. It's a conflict. Now, both of them was religious. But Esau, when it come to works and deeds as a good legalist, he was probably a better boy. You get it? All the way around than Jacob was. Did you know that? Jacob was a little boy that hung around his mammy all the time. And Esau got out and worked, went out and got venison to give to his old blind daddy, who was a prophet. He tried to take care of him. Do you see that? That work spent? You can be all full of works and not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Many people do works and works. They're so good at doing works for other people. But what they need is to be born again.
Amen.
We're not mules here. We're pedigree horses.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Praise the living Lord.
Amen. But Esau got out and worked, tried to take care of him. But Jacob only had one thing in mind. He wanted that birthright. He didn't care how long he had to hang around or whatever he had to do. The main thing in his life was the birthright. And Esau despised it. Now, don't you see the natural man? When a revival comes, there's two classes of people that comes out of every revival. There's the natural man that goes, he'll come up the altar and say, yes, sir, I accept Christ as my Savior. He'll go out, and what does happen? The first thing you know, he'll wind up in some good, cold, formal church because he thinks, well, if I join church, I'm just as good as the next man. And am I not just as good as so-and-so? What's the difference so long as I belong to church and make my confession? Why is Brother Branham? Why it's a whole lot of difference. You've got to be born again. You've got to have the birthright. Jacob didn't care how much he was laughed at. He wanted that birthright. He didn't care how he had to get it. Now, a lot of people don't want to get that birthright because they think it's just a little unpopular. They don't want to get down at the altar and cry a bit or go without a few meals and something or another. They don't want to do it. A lot of women, you know, manic makeup, they think if they cry, they might wash it off and have to put it on again. I don't mean to say that's sacrilegious. I hope it doesn't sound that way, but it's the truth. They just don't want it. They don't want the new birth. The birthright's the new birth. Because the new birth is kind of messy. It's like any birth. Any birth's a mess. I don't care where it's at, if it's in a pig pen or a barn. We got visitors. It's like any birth. Any birth's a mess. I don't care where it's at. If it's in a pig pen or a barn, if it's in a pink decorated hospital room, it's a mess. And so is the new birth a mess.
Hallelujah.
See, the new birth's a mess.
Yes, it is.
If you got one, you know what we're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
See, Brother Branham didn't mean to criticize, but he saw like a Billy Graham revival. And he saw thousands coming down to the altar. And Billy Graham was a man of God. He did a work of God. And it's not Billy Graham's fault. He preached the gospel. But all these people come down, joking and cracking up on the way down. That's not it. Brother Branham said, I don't believe in no dry-eyed confession. You see, circumcision is a cut in a very private area. Right? Very personal, private, painful. And when you get circumcision of the heart, it's personal.
Amen.
It's private. It's intimate. It hurts because God's showing us where we're wrong.
Amen.
God's showing us why we need to repent. God's showing us the truth that we're nothing. And that's very, very humbling. That's very cutting. Circumcision of the heart is what we need. Not intellectual. I believe it. I'm fine. I'm as good as you. How dare you say? See? Esau. The natural man.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Every birth's a mess. Amen. It'll make you do things that you think you didn't think you'd do. You stand in a corner and beat a tambourine or sing glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. You'll act like a maniac. That's what was done to the apostles. That's what they done to the Virgin Mary. She acted like she was drunk. She was a mess in society, but it takes a mess for life to come out.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Look at, unless anything dies and rots, life can't come from it. Unless a man dies and rots to his own thoughts, Christ can't get into his heart. When you think, when you're trying to think for yourself, now if I walk up to the altar and say, yes, Lord, I'm a fine fellow, I'll take you, I'll pay my tithes, I'll do this. You got to die and rot there to your thoughts. Let the Holy Ghost take over and just do whatever he wants to, with you. Get kind of messy with it. That sounds horrible. Not sacrilegious, but it's the truth. It's the only way I know how to punch the thing out and make you understand it. What was more of a mess than a dignified bunch of Jews that day than to see them coming down there out with stammering lips? You know what a stammer is?
Mm-hmm.
It says Brother Bram demonstrates a stammer. Right? You ever hear somebody stammer?
Yes, sir.
Right? Stammering lips. Other tongues. Acting like drunk people. Brother Bram demonstrates how to a drunk person act. I can't do that. But I used to be drunk. I know what a drunk person does. See, right? And a drunk person is not all dignified and religious like this. See, I was at confirmation in the Catholic Church, 13 years old, learn all these things. The bishop's going to come and ask you questions. You're going to get a new name. And you're a 13-year-old kid going, oh man, I got to learn all these things so I can be confirmed, which is the substitute of the real baptism of the Holy Ghost. So what is it? Learning, 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 studying, studying, learning, learning, learning. And so focused on the learning, you don't even think about the real experience with God.
Amen.
Same today. Same today around the message. Learning, learning, learning. Knowing, knowing, knowing. Hey, to know Him is life.
Amen.
See, to know Him is life.
Amen.
There's a big difference between going through a ceremony, all dignified and everything, and having a real new birth.
Amen.
Big difference, all right? What a mess, bunch of Jews. That's exactly what they're doing. They looked messy. And he said, these men are full of new wine. But after one of them kind of got to himself, let this be known. I love this. And hearken to my words. These are not drunk as you suppose. But when he went back to the scripture, this is that which was spoke by the prophet Joel.
Amen.
And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's the way the church was born. How many believes that God is infinite? He cannot change. Listen to this thought now, Brother Branham. He cannot change. And if that's his idea of the church at the beginning, that's the kind of church he'll have at the end.
Amen.
He cannot change. So how are you going to substitute shaking a hand or sprinkling or some other kind of thing that it didn't happen right there? Every one of them apostles went right back to that.
Amen.
See, we want to be like the first church. But the only way for us to be like the first church is to have the same experience that the first church had. The same fire, the same Holy Ghost, tongues of fire on everyone hanging over. They tried to speak in their own language, and another language came out. With stammering lips and another tongue, I'll speak to this people. This is that. This is the rest. This is the Sabbath, is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We've got to have it.
Yes.
Where's that Jacob desire? I've got to have the Holy Ghost. I've got to have a God that's on fire.
Amen.
I've got to have a God that's visible.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Divine healing is the children's bread. I don't accept being sick. I don't accept having this on me. I am the seed of Abraham. I call those things that are not as though they are.
Yes,
healing is mine. Salvation is mine. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is mine.
Amen.
Where is that Jacob desire?
Amen.
Help us, Lord. We've got to have it. I believe it's there.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
We're living in Laodicea. And those Laodicean spirits, what are they? People's rights. Comfort the flesh.
Amen.
Carnal. Entertainments. Amen. You know, think about it today. I was talking to Maureen, you know, way back before television. What did people do for entertainment? They would listen to the radio or something like that. What did they do before the radio? It's only been in this last 100 or so years that we've had an explosion in the entertainment world. But is it edifying? It's distracting from the main thing. It takes us all of us, from the real thing. Which is having experiences with God.
Amen.
Oh. Spending time with God.
Amen.
I remember, I'll never forget it. There was an old time preacher came through Brother Ron Walbert's one day. I forget his name. And he just shook. He rocked my world. He says, you know, he was Southern. He goes, I go into my prayer room and I wait for him. He says, I might be there for hours to see if he'll pass by.
Amen.
I said, praise God.
That is great.
See, we go down and we say, God, I got 5 minutes. Come on. That don't work.
No, sir.
He's God. He's the King. He's not just a king. He's the King. He's the King of kings.
Amen.
He's the eternal God, the all-powerful, the Creator.
Amen.
We can't treat him like a lackey boy.
Amen.
We got to give him time. And that's a battle today.
Amen.
Because we're so busy doing what? Important things, Brother John. I'm doing important things. What is more important?
Amen.
There is nothing more important than getting a hold of God.
Amen.
You know, there was a big earthquake out in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Hear about that? It's coming. Don't wait until California goes in to get a hold of God. If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. You were placed in the world at such a time as this for such a purpose as what? Getting a hold of God.
Amen.
Well, grace is in my life, Brother John. I believe that. Not because I'm here, but because you're here in this building and we're under the umbrella of a revelation that came straight out of heaven. We got access to a message that people don't have access to.
Amen.
Be careful about your attitude towards those messages. Well, I don't need to hear that. That was a long time ago. It's probably got wiggle worms in it. I tell you what, that message is fresh today. It's a fresh message. It's fresh meat. Be careful of your attitude towards the Word of God. Do you realize Brother Bram said your eternal destination is determined by your attitude towards the Word of God? Help us, Lord. I'm not perfect either, but listen, I want God. I want to see a fire break out. I want to see tongues of fire, every one of you. I want to see you try and speak to me in your language and another language comes out that you don't even know.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
How about Brother Branham down there? And he preaches under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And what's his name? Ed Henry or someone comes up to him and he says, that could be the next chapter in the book of Revelation. And he puts his hands on him and he starts prophesying over Brother Branham in French.
Hallelujah.
Woo! And he didn't know no French.
Glory, hallelujah.
That's not man doing that.
Amen.
And that which he said, and it just so happened that there was three people in the room that knew French perfectly. Every one of them write down the interpretation, and every interpretation matched perfectly. And it just so happens I know a man that was in the room, Brother David Mamas, and he told me the story. Can you imagine God bringing out a prophecy and saying, thou hast chosen the right way, my way, the harder way. He said, Brother Branham sat in a chair and cried like a little baby.
Amen.
Think about it. You think he didn't have trials? Probably many more than we do. But God was holding that man because of the ministry he had placed him in. Brother Branham wasn't perfect. Grace was upon Brother Branham. But you know what? He did what he could do. That's all we can do is do what we can do. In our daily life, do what you can. Don't shut yourself off from people. If you've experienced grace, engage people. But Brother John, people are just miserable. I can't stand people. They need Jesus. They need Christ. Help us, Lord. Amen. We want to be like the first church. We need an experience like the first church. Let's go to Genesis. You got a few minutes? Genesis 27. Amen. Lunch can wait.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is food, you know.
Amen.
Come and dine, the master calleth.
Amen.
Come and dine.
Amen.
Genesis 27, verse 1. I'm not sure if we'll get through all this whole chapter, but let's see. And it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said to him, my son. And he said to him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, I am old and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out in the field and make me some venison. And make me savory meat such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac said to Esau's son. And Esau went into the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and that I may bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch thee from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he may eat, and he may bless thee before his death. Jacob said to his Rebekah's mother, behold, Esau, my brother's a hairy man. Can you imagine how hairy this guy was? If he was like hairy when he was born. Oh my gosh. Hairy man. Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, not a blessing. Now, I want you to see something here. Jacob had to step out on a limb a little bit. He had to take a little risk. Right? You know, sometimes when you're a Christian, it's like you're stepping off of a cliff. And you just believe God's going to catch you. Do you ever have those experiences? I've had them where, you know, I felt to pray for somebody in a hospital waiting room and everybody's watching me. And I felt like, Lord, what am I going crazy or what? God is God. We need to trust God. Sometimes it feels like that, like you're taking a risk. But there's no risk when you stand on the Word of God. Not a blessing. And his mother said to him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me. Then. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as the father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put on skins of kids of the goats upon his hands, to make his hands hairy, and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave savory meat and bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of Jacob. And he came to the father, and he said, my father. Now, how could he disguise his voice, right? That was a problem. He said, here I am. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according thou badest me. Arise, pray, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son? He said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Listen, he's a deceiver, and he's a liar, and he's conniving, and he's deceiving his daddy. Be careful how we judge.
Yes, sir, bro. You're right.
Who's going to speak anything against Jacob? He wrestled with God, and then his name became Israel. A prince with God. You know, the bride's not going to be made up of people that we would put in there. All right. And Jacob said, I am Esau, the firstborn. All right. And Isaac said to him, verse 20, how is it? So quickly, verse 21. And Isaac said to him, Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel my son, whether thou... He was doubting. Thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. He said, the voice is Jacob's voice. Now Jacob's probably going, I'm Esau. He wasn't a very good deceiver, right? The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy. All right, so the mother was clever. And his brother Esau's hand, so he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. He said, bring it to me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And forgive me for speaking fast. I just didn't want to, I wanted to read a little bit more. And he brought the wine and drank. And his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. He's still doubting. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. He said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. So the blessing comes. Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Ooh. And let thy mother's sons bow to thee. Cursed be the one that curseth thee. Blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac made the end of the blessing of Jacob, Jacob was scarce gone out from the presence of his father, Isaac his father, and Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Can you picture that?
Oh, mother.
Look at Jacob now. I don't mean to hammer this thing. Esau comes in hungry. He's like, hey, can I have some of that food you're making there? You're just sitting there all day, and I'm like dying. Give me something to eat. Sell me your birthright. What a nice brother. What good's my birthright if I'm dead? Swear to me. He said, all right, it's yours. And he ate it. So he despised his birthright. And then look, he comes here. He takes the blessing. See, any one of us could find fault with Jacob and Rebekah here. But God didn't. God didn't find fault. What was God looking at? His desire for that birthright. He'd do anything to get it.
Amen.
He didn't care what he had to do. That's what we need.
Amen.
I don't care what people think. I don't care how it looks. I have got to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I've got to have an experience. I got to stop fooling myself that I got it when I don't. I got to have the real thing.
Amen. Yes, sir, brother. Amen. Help us, Lord Jesus.
And when I get the real thing, it'll produce the real thing.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I can stop pretending to be a Christian. I'll be a Christian.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
So Esau comes in. He's scarce going out. Verse 31. And he also made savory meat and brought it into his father. And said, yeah, I'm going to feel sorry for Esau and Isaac, right? Let thy father rise and eat his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, of course he's confused, right? He said unto him, who art thou? He said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau. Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that had taken his venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of it before thou camest, and I blessed him? See, now he's thinking now, all those warnings that he had. So he's trembling. Jacob. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And Jacob was blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceeding great... I'm getting to a point here. I'm taking a long time to get to a point, but I want you to bear with me. And Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said to him, bless me, even also, me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and he hath taken away thy blessing. He said, is not his name rightly named Jacob, supplanter, shyster? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he had taken away my blessing. He said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now to thee, my son? And Esau said to his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, O my father. He wanted the blessing, but not the birthright. Think about it. Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of the heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and thou and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith the father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. I want you to get this. Get this point now. That was a long, long scripture reading. Esau desired the blessing of the birthright without having the birthright. It's like the people that want the gifts, but really they need the giver of the gifts. Wrong motives, wrong objectives. You know, people want all the privileges and blessings of the elect of God.
Yes, that's right.
But what we need is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We need a personal experience with God that we know, that we know, that we know, that we know. Well, Brother John, can we have that today? Yes, we can have it today.
Amen.
Amen. It's hard. Amen.
Well, what do I got to do? We meet the same conditions. We're going to have it.
Amen. Praise the living Lord.
I believe he wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed.
Amen.
We need to kind of do everything we can to shut out the things of the world. Shut out all the distractions. Get alone with God. Make an appointment with God. When you make an appointment with God, he'll be there. He does not miss those appointments.
Amen.
Make an appointment with God. Get alone with God. What was the third pool tied to? Enter into thy closet.
Amen.
Brother Bam tied the third pool manifestation to entering to a closet.
Amen.
We got to get along with God.
Amen.
If you want to be part of this final manifestation of the power of God, you need to have a personal experience with God.
Amen.
David could kill Goliath because he had the experience with the backside of the desert with the lion and the bear.
Amen.
God, listen. It's for you.
Amen.
It's for you.
Amen.
It's for all of us.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
People, there is a group of people, though, that wants the blessings without the birthright, that actually despise the birthright because they're so dignified and proud and lifted up.
Amen.
People got their noses, so they drown in the rain.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Stuck up. God resisted the proud, give it grace to the humble.
Amen.
See, we need to realize we're nothing in ourselves. We need to get a hold of God.
Amen.
You know, the devil's the one that dignifies religion.
Amen.
He dignifies it.
Amen.
But the old-fashioned Pentecostal experience is not dignified. You'll be crying. You'll be sobbing when you realize you're nothing. Your nose will be running boogers down your nose. You'll be crying. You'll be sobbing. You'll be like, ah! Do I have to do that, Brother John? You don't have to do anything. It won't be forced. It'll be automatic.
Amen.
When you get a hold of God, in the presence of God, you're going to realize how he sees you.
Amen.
And your need. Your need is a desperate need.
Amen.
Repent, the Bible
Amen.
Says. Repent.
Amen.
And be baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But how many times have we walked somebody into the baptismal pool and they're like, oh, it's too cold for me. I can't do that. I'm not doing that. Huh? What do you think I am? It's like the story of the guy that says, hey, I want to receive the Holy Ghost you got. He says, all right, come with me, boss. He takes him out. Is this a good spot? No, that's not a good spot. Is this a good spot? No, it's a good spot. It's out in the middle of the pig pen. He's like, I ain't going out there. He says, you ain't ready yet.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
When you're ready, it's like that old farmer said, Lord, here I am on my knees in the field. If you don't give me the Holy Ghost now, you're going to find a bunch of dead bones right here.
Amen.
We got to get down to business with God.
Amen.
We got to get serious with God if we want an experience with God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Jacob was willing to do whatever it took to secure it. See, where's that desire today? There's nothing more important in this life than to be born again.
Amen.
Let me just read this final scripture. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's all stand.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
I appreciate your patience with me. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. This is verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he hath ceased from his own works. Remember, rest and Sabbath is not about coming to church on Saturday or Sunday. Brother Bram talked about that in the Hebrew series that we're listening to. The rest is ceasing from your own works and let God take over your life.
Amen.
That's the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is the rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. God ceased from working on the seventh day, right? Let us labor. Verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So in other words, labor to enter into rest. What's the labor? Get all the distractions out of the way. Get all the unbelief out of the way. Get all the world out of the way. Get all the everything the crowd on your mind out of the way, and be centered, focused on that promise.
Amen.
If you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desire of your heart.
Amen.
That's the scripture.
Amen.
Now I want to read verse 12 through 16. It's a beautiful scripture. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Listen, He knows everything about us.
Amen.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. That means we have that can. We have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. This is instructions for you and me. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, once again my mind goes back to Job when he said, I've spoken things too wonderful for me, Lord. Lord, I thank You for all the many experiences You give me in my life, Lord, and helping me realize every time I get close to You, I realize how much of a nothing I am and how great You are, oh God, and how I need Your grace and Your mercy every day. I need the blood of Calvary to wash me and cleanse me from all sin, Lord. I need this baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of my life, oh God. I need You, Lord. Help us, oh God. I pray for this local church here, Lord. We don't want to be another denomination.
Amen.
We don't want to be another cold, formal church according to Esau, oh God. We want to be the church like Jacob.
Yes.
There's nothing more important than a real Holy Ghost move of God. Lord, we see in the promises in the Scripture that You're going to pour out Your Spirit once again, that there's going to be a church in the last days exactly like the first church.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's where we want, oh God. Whatever it takes, Lord, take out of us all that's wrong. Take out of our minds and our hearts and our ambitions. Cleanse us and purge us, oh God. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Baptize us with Holy Ghost and power.
Yes, deliver me,
for Your glory and honor. And Lord, when we get to the other side, by the grace of God, we'll be careful to give You all the glory and honor. For You alone are worthy of worship and praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do you know that, Jeremy? Send us the rain. I don't know if that's back there, Sean. Oh, send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the latter rain. Oh, send us, oh, send us.